Welcome to the Spoken Word Christian Church. Today is a very special day today. You may notice we have some new faces around today. We have Pastor Trent is with us today. He is actually going to be bringing God's message. He brought some of our brothers and sisters from Becoming Church with him. And they are a church who are going to be meeting here at the facility on Saturday nights, a young church. God is going to be doing some powerful things through them. As a church, we want to make sure, as the Spoken Word, we want to make sure that we are praying for them, that we are there for them in every way we can be, so that we can celebrate whatever God is going to do through them, and I promise you he will. We want to be right there celebrating all of that with them as well. So I am excited to have Pastor Trent with us today and to have Becoming Church here with us today. It's going to be a wonderful day fellowshipping together in God. Trent, come on up. Why don't we just pray together right now? Father God, once again, it's a beautiful day, and it's a day that you have gifted us with. You have also gifted us with this beautiful fellowship. We call ourselves the Becoming Church. We call ourselves the Spoken Word Church, but who we really are is your church. We are the church of Christ Jesus under your name. And Father God, I pray that this morning that we glorify you in all of the things that we say and do, and that, Father God, that you speak through this man right into our hearts and change our lives, that you continue to draw us closer to you. And so I'm so thankful for this man and for what you're going to be doing both as you use him through Becoming Church and how you use us here at the Spoken Word. So we give him to you and we give you this time, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There you go, sir.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. It is really great to be with you this morning. It's a God thing. It's amazing how God can be accomplishing things, and we have no idea what he's doing. And we're just so blessed to have the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in and through Spoken Word, and to be able to worship in this amazing facility. It's just blown us away. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this weekend, I was telling Pastor Bob this, like the men's breakfast yesterday, and then getting to watch the looks on the faces of the people in my church last night as they walked in to the building, and then getting to be here with you this morning, it is an amazing beginning. And there's only one thing missing, as far as I'm concerned, one thing that could make it better, and that is that my wife is not here this morning. She's in Nashville. She had a trip that she had on the calendar for a long time, so she sends her love. I know she would rather be here, even though Nashville is a fun place to be. I know she would rather be here this morning, but in spite of that, this is still an amazing beginning that we're stepping into together today. And beginnings matter, don't they? Beginnings set the tone for what the experience is going to be. I actually don't remember the first time I met my wife, Amy. And that is because our parents were actually friends before we were born. So I was born first, and then Amy came along, but I was only two when she came along, and so I don't remember that meeting. I do remember, though, a few years later, the first date that we went on, and it's sort of a moment that lives in infamy in our relationship. Do you ever have those things as a husband and wife where, like men, stick with me on this, you remember it a very certain and specific way, but your wife just has a totally different understanding of what happened in the moment, you know? And I would say for like the first, we've been married for 15 years, for the first like 10 years of our marriage, I was convinced that my version was right. Now I'm pretty convinced that my version is almost always wrong and hers is usually right. And that's what applies to this moment. We were on our first date, and I was trying to explain something to her, and in my head, it made perfect sense. I'll tell you what it was in a moment. And I, maybe you've had this, like you say something and it's very clear to you, but then you look at the expression on the person's face, and you think to yourself, they are not hearing what I'm saying, you know? And so what I was trying to explain to Amy, we had just gotten into the car, we were driving to go have dinner, and what I was trying to explain to her was that my brother, Scott, who's a little bit younger than me, he had gotten married a few years before, and his wife's name was Amy. So I was trying to explain that my brother had a wife named Amy, but what I said, or at least what Amy says that I said, was this. I said, my brother is married to an Amy too. And what I was trying to say, it was very innocent, just my brother's wife's named Amy, but what she heard me saying is, we're going to get married, And you, Amy, are going to be my wife. That's what she heard. And I would just recommend any of you in here that have a first date coming up soon, maybe don't say that in the first 5 minutes in the car ride of the date. Although it did work out for me. It was like a prophetic word, I guess. But I wouldn't go there on your first date. But that's what happened. And God redeemed that beginning. But beginnings are important things. And this morning, I thought we could start at the very beginning of everything, at the very beginning of the Bible, at the very beginning of the book of Genesis. This first passage in the Bible is a profound, amazing passage. My theory is, though, that we often just kind of overlook it. You know, if you're doing your devotional reading, my guess is we probably don't spend a lot of time on Genesis 1:1 because we've read it a lot of times, and we might miss what God wants to say to us through it. So that's my goal this morning, is maybe that God would remind you of something or say something to you in a way that he never has before through this beautiful beginning of Scripture. I thought we could just read it together here to start, or I'll read it and you follow along. But it says this in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Reading these lines that are the beginning of the story of Scripture, really the beginning of our story, it got me thinking about what are some amazing first lines of books. You know, I was just having fun reflecting on this, and I wrote some of these down, and I thought this would be a good time for some congregational participation, okay? So I'm going to say the line, and if you know the book, you just shout it out, okay? We're going to see who the scholars are in here with us this morning. I think some of these are hard. I didn't remember all of them. So here we go. How about this one? Call Me Ishmael. Moby Dick, yes. That's a boring book, but it had a good beginning. Man, they make you read that thing in high school. It's like, I am so done with this whale. Okay, here's another one. I don't know if anybody will get this one. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities. Yeah, man. Got some literary scholars up in here, Pastor Bob. Oh, this one might be harder, although it's a funny one. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Anybody know? Pride and Prejudice. Come on, ladies, you should. I don't expect any of the men to get that one. That would make me concerned about this church, but the ladies, come on. And this one I hope some of you get. I Am Sam. I Am Sam. Sam I Am. Yeah. My girls are doing Seussical the Musical in school right now, and I hear these songs a lot, guys, a lot. So I have three daughters. I'll tell you more about them in a little bit. But here's the thing. From my perspective, no book gets right down to it the way the Bible does. The Bible starts right with exactly what we need to know. Those first four words of Genesis 1 are really the answer to every question that you and I need to know. Those first four words are this: in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That changes everything for you and I. When we know that we know with every fiber of our being that in the beginning, God was, it can transform our life. And that's where Genesis begins. What a way to start. That's really all we need to know. I was just, imagine if you were the person that wrote Genesis, Moses, and you were thinking to yourself, man, how do I start this thing? How do I start the story of God? There's so many ways you could begin, but I feel like he nailed it. In the beginning, God. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit had something to do with the way Moses nailed it, but it's a perfect beginning. In the beginning, God. And it will change everything about our lives. And my prayer is by the end of today that every single person in this place will know that you know that in the beginning, God. It all starts there. And he created the world that we know. What a way for it to begin. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. By Hebrew, I mean the language, per se. But I did take some Hebrew in college. And it always kind of, there's some phrases that I learned in Hebrew that stand out in my mind. And the main reason was the professor that I learned Hebrew from, he had gotten his PhD in the Hebrew language at NYU University, studying with rabbis, and he had decided to become a minister and an educator, and his name was Dr. Williams, but his full name was Dr. William C. Williams. And so we lovingly referred to him as Bill Bill, Dr. Bill Bill, and he was an amazing man. Like, he was one of those, like, really stern teachers, you know, the ones that, like, put the fear of God into everybody. And the fact that he taught Hebrew kind of added to that. It was like just, we were all in constant kind of fear of what he might do and say to us. And so we never called him Bill Bill to his face, obviously. But this, one of my favorite memories of college is I signed up for this class with him. And the name of the class was A Biblical Theology of Love, Sex, and Marriage. So you can imagine at a Christian college, how many people you think signed up for that class? I mean, it was like, whoa, I'm going to that class. So I go in the first night, and it's in a little room with a table in it, not like a normal classroom with the desks all lined up, just this little room. But there was like 70 people packed into this room. And it was not the normal people I would see at my, you know, Bible classes. It was like everybody was in there. But the way Dr. Williams started the class was, he's like, this class is not going to be what you think it is. He's like, what we're going to do in this class is we're going to look at every instance in the Old Testament where the Hebrew words for love are used. And you're going to write papers discussing each of those words for love. And then you're going to do the same thing with these other words. And so, I kid you not, the second night of class, there was only 10 people in the class because people thought they were getting one thing and they really got something else. But he taught us, I took another class with him on the book of Genesis, and he taught us this Hebrew phrase, and I've always loved this phrase. And what it's the Hebrew phrase that in Genesis 1:2 is the English words, let me find it, formless and empty. The earth was formless and empty. In Hebrew, the way that is said is tohu va bohu. You can see why that stuck in my mind. It sort of sounds like Dr. Seuss. Tohu va bohu. So let's say that together, okay? Count of three. You say it with me. One, two, three. Tohu va bohu. You know, you're a Hebrew scholar. You guys are going to leave here smarter today. But that phrase, it means formless and empty, but there's an idea in the Hebrew that we might miss. It really is the idea of chaos. That everything is in chaos. In the beginning, God, and God created the heavens and the earth, but it was without shape. It was chaotic. It was, everything was in flux. And yet, God was there. God was not absent. It's almost like Moses is telling us, hey, I know it starts this way, but there's something more coming. And then it talks to us about the presence of the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth, almost like a mother bird hovering over its nest. Listen to the way the Message translation renders Genesis 1, 1 and 2. I love, sometimes the Message has a way of expressing things that hit us powerfully. And this is what it says in the Message. It says, first this, God created the heavens and earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. It's chaotic. It's shapeless. There's something needed. And it's out of that chaos that God creates order. It starts with chaos, and then God brings it into order. I don't know about you, but for me, that is really good news. You know why? Because sometimes my life feels a little chaotic. I'm a father of three girls, 11, 7, and 4. And maybe I'm focused on this particularly this weekend because my wife's out of town, so it's just me and them. And every moment has a way. I mean, those of you that are parents, you understand this. It's like, I mean, one child has its moments, two, but when you get to three, And I know some of you probably have more than three. It feels like chaos like 90% of the time. It's just everybody's running around. You're trying to rein it in. And so yesterday, I was proud of myself. I was sitting downstairs, and I looked at the floor, and I thought, these floors are dirty. Or at least my wife would say these floors are dirty. So I'm going to bless her, and I'm going to clean up the floor. So I swept the floor. I vacuumed it up. And I when I finished vacuuming, I had one of those parent moments like of inside. I was like, it's really quiet upstairs. It is really quiet. And when it gets quiet, my four-year-old is doing something chaotic and destructive. That's just the way it is. So I go up there. I've just cleaned the floors. I look at our hallway, and I kid you not, it is covered with this bright pink fluorescent something. And I thought it was like paint that she had dumped all over the hallway. So I kind of lost it. Unfortunately, that's kind of what chaos can do to me. It like sends me over the edge. So I just, I think my neighbors could hear me because we live in a tight little neighborhood. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, do I need to call the abused dad hotline? Are you okay? So I said, yeah, it's okay. But it turned out it wasn't paint. It was just glitter. So I was able to go get the vacuum and vacuum it up. But I mean, that's just one weekend, and that's just parenting. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Like, this is my hope anyway. This is my hope that God is aware of the chaos, and he is doing something in me as a dad. And if I'll allow him to, and if I'll listen, he is going to bring order out of that chaos. Those girls are going to grow up to be the women he wants them to be somehow. Like, if I were to judge it based on what my four-year-old does on a daily basis, it's not looking good. But God can bring order where there's chaos. And my suspicion is that if your life is anything like mine, a lot of it feels like a dad home alone with his three kids. You know, there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos in our lives. There's a lot of chaos in our world. And it is incredible news to know that God is the one who brings order out of chaos. That's what he does. He did it in the beginning, and he's doing it today. God is right now bringing order out of chaos. He's got a plan. He's taking our world somewhere. Sometimes I look at our world, and what is happening? Where is this going? And I know God's there, right? Imagine if you didn't. Imagine if you were a person out there in the world right now and knew nothing about God. What it would feel like, the chaos of the world. But whether we know it or not, God is bringing order. There is a day coming where he's going to set it all right. That's his promise for us. He is the one who brings order out of chaos, and that is good news. And maybe more incredibly than that, God actually wants to use you and I to help him bring order out of chaos. That's our role. Like when he gets a hold of us, the chaos of our lives, and he writes it, and he frees us of sin, and he begins to transform us into the image of his son, part of the purpose of that is so that we go out there and make a difference in the chaos of the world. That's what the church is. I mean, think of what God wants to do in the community that is spoken word, in the community that is becoming church. God wants to bring these lives together, bring our stories together like the one we heard today. And God wants to take those stories and mold something that can transform the world. Only God would think of that, right? Only God would say, you know how I'm going to change the world? The church. That's how I'm going to do it. And God wants to bring order out of the chaos of this world. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again of Genesis. I think there's something more that God wants to say to us. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. I was watching this video the other day, and there was a man talking about the flaws of the Bible. Ever seen one of those videos? Somebody talking about what are the things in the Bible that make it impossible for us to believe? And he pointed to this verse right here. And he said, wait a second, how could you have light before you had the sun? Because in a few verses, it's going to say that God made the sun and the moon and the stars. And the man was saying, how could you have light without those things. So obviously we can throw the whole Bible out because it doesn't make any sense. Now, here's what I was thinking when this guy was saying this. I was saying, man, you missed the point. You missed the point. Yeah, there was no sun or moon or stars yet. That's the whole point. The point is that God can literally speak light into darkness. That's the point. God doesn't need sun and moon and stars. God makes the light. And how does he do it? He just says, let there be light, and there is light. Now, I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. Like, sometimes I say things, and I just hope my kids will even, like, listen, you know? But God just says, let there be light, and there's light. That's the point. You're supposed to read this and go, whoa! He just says it, and it happens. And there's not even sun or moon or stars yet. Now, I get it. This guy's looking at it from a scientific perspective saying, well, we only have light because of the sun. But you know what that says to me is it means he doesn't know God. He doesn't know that in the beginning, God. He doesn't know that God is the one who can just speak light into darkness. Light is a powerful, powerful substance. Think about, have you ever been in a really dark room? And you just have a little bit of light, how it transforms the room. It's a powerful substance. It can change the darkness in a moment. And what's really amazing to me is, you know, we've discovered through the years, scientists have, that our universe is really ordered around light. The speed of light is the defining orderly characteristic in our universe. Isn't that amazing that God spoke the light into the darkness and the world is formed around the light that he spoke. It's the defining characteristic. And here's the thing that I want you to know this morning. We're almost done. I want you to know this. God is still speaking light into dark places. He is still the God that speaks light into the darkness. There are dark things happening in our world. Maybe you have some dark places in your life. God is the one who speaks light into that darkness. And if you let him, that light can transform the darkness within you. One of my favorite testimonies of the life change that God can bring is the story of C.S. Lewis. The story of God's work in his life is called Surprised by Joy. Surprised by Joy. And I resonate that with that because I think sometimes the chaos and the darkness of life robs us of our joy. It robs us of the joy of life. The pain that we go through, it takes it away. And that's what was happening to C.S. Lewis. He was a scholar. He was at Oxford and Cambridge and an incredible intellect, but something was missing from his life. And when God showed up, it surprised him the way the joy came into his life. And that's what light does. It can break through all of the stuff that we wrestle with and can change everything and transform us in a moment. That's what redemption is. The darkness is there. The darkness surrounds us. But God continues to send the light and speak the light. It reminds me of the words of Isaiah. He says, to those in darkness, I am sending a great light. And we know that light is Jesus. But here's the thing. God is constantly sending light into dark places. This community, God wants to speak light. This state, God wants to speak light. This country, God wants to speak light. This world, God wants to speak light. He's going to speak light. That's what he does. He's the God who speaks light into darkness. And I just want to close with this. I know you guys have been going through the book of John, and I know that Pastor Bob probably did an amazing job showing you the very beginning of the Gospel of John. But I want to read it for you today because I love how closely John 1:1-5 parallels Genesis 1:1-5. And John makes this amazing point that I want us to close with this morning. But so let me just quickly read this scripture. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But this is what it says. It also starts in the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you see how closely those parallel each other? John, there's something that John does not want us to miss. something powerful that he wants us to understand. There's a young man in my church who is a financial planner, and he works for this company that's been around a long time. And I had him over just to give his presentation to me, and he gave me the presentation. And a lot of it, especially at the beginning, was about the fact that his company has been around for 100 years. It's like, my company is 100 years old, and what that's supposed to do is give me the confidence that if I invest money with this company, they're not going to fold, and my investment will pan out over time, right? And we get used to thinking that way, like, how old is this company? And 100 years old here in America sounds pretty old. You know, it sounds pretty powerful that the company has been around that long. It says something to us about that company. And that's what John is trying to get us to understand about Jesus in this passage. There's something that he doesn't want us to miss, and that is that in the beginning, Jesus was. In the beginning, Jesus. And what I love about it, John just doesn't start at the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, right? The other gospels start there. John starts like at the beginning of everything. He's saying, don't miss this. Like, Jesus, if your life is in chaos today, what you need to know is in the beginning, Jesus. If your life is in darkness today, what you need to know is in the beginning, Jesus. That's the solution. In the beginning, Jesus. He didn't just show up on the earth. He didn't just get born in a manger and die on a cross and rise again. Those are amazing things. But he was in the beginning. And everything that happened, happened through him. How can you trust this man that says, come follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have the solution for your problem. How can you trust him? John says to us, you can trust him because in the beginning, Jesus. And that is good news. And my guess is there's some of us here today that have some chaos and have some darkness. And we need to know, first and foremost, in the beginning, Jesus. And he's the solution for what's going on in our life. And if we'll let him, he'll make a difference in what we do. Can we pray to close our time this morning? God, I thank you so much for this incredible book that we call the Bible. These scriptures that are inspired and carry the weight of your words on every page, God. Literally, there's not a page of this book that if we open up and let the words have the impact that they're intended to will change our life, God. And it starts on the very first page. In the beginning, God. You're what we need, God. You started all this. You got it going. And you're the solution for every one of us. You, the Bible says, know the hairs on our head. The number of hairs on our head. You know us intimately. You created us. You created everything that is. And you have a plan and a purpose and a goal for our lives, God. You want to bring us out of chaos. You want to speak your light into our darkness. You want to make us new. You want to use us for your purposes. You want to give our life meaning. You want to do it right now today, God. And we thank you for that. And all of us in this place, no matter what we're going through, God, we recognize today that in the beginning, Jesus was there and spoke all this into existence and loves each of us and gave his life up for us and offers us a new way of life, God. We grab hold of that today. We invoke the name of Jesus into the circumstances of our lives. Whatever we have going on, God, Jesus, we know you are the solution and you can do the impossible. And we invite you to do that anew and afresh in us today. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.